Rav Zayin Adar, Siman Kuf Yud Alach Yud Gimel. We're going to Siman Kuf Yud Alach Alach Vav. We're continuing to discuss the careful steps we need to make sure that the matzah is going to be kosher, and especially the last guy at the oven is the most pivotal point probably in this whole making. Why? Because as we said, that it could be that sometimes they would literally become chametz in the oven. One of the examples, if you take out the matzah too early, and it has what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calls chutim anim shochim, basically thread-like strands of dough that are pulling out from the matzah. That means it's not baked well. You ever make cookies or something like that, or challah? You see that it's dough-like, you're in trouble. So if you take it out, then it's a whole discussion, first of all, if you're allowed to put it back, and B, the marder, which is the actual utensil that's used to pull it out, you can't use it. It just became chametz stick. So you have to kosher it again with the intense coals that are inside the oven. And if you have a metal, the kids are on the place committee say, then usually it's not such a problem. So how do you know if it's really baked or not? There's a few simanim, signs. And especially with our matzahs today, there's a big leniency, as we said, because of the thinness of the matzahs. So one of the signs is what's called komu paneh. I mean, if there's, excuse me, if there's a crust like on top of the matzahs, so then there's much more room to be lenient. One of the other signs I saw is if you hold up the matzah straight and you see that it bends over, you know that you're in trouble. So it has to be crispy and delicious, and it can't be dough looking. I've been in matzah chaburas where it ended up literally being like what the Sephardim have actually, which again is halachically okay for them, and it's done in a special methodology, so there's no concern with chametz, but where it's much more like a lafa, like a pita, which probably is the way it was in the old days. But right now, we are not necessarily, we're not changing that, even though once in a while that pops up. Okay, I'm talking about the Ashkenazim. Sephardim certainly have what to be saying, and even the many Sephardim don't use the lafa-like matzahs. And I heard it doesn't taste so great either, but I don't want to say anything negative. Okay, next. It's proper, the Kitzel says, that the Yirei Shamayim should oversee the making of his matzahs and making sure that it's good. And this we already find from the Rishonim, the Rosh, that's what they did. Interesting that there's also a beautiful Arizal that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. A few places, I think two or three places. One of them is when it comes to the baking of the matzah, the person sweats. Now, you have to be careful with this. Sweat is one of the greatest dangers. You don't want any liquids and zeyan sweat going into your matzahs. But the idea of using and really working yourself is a tremendous kapara, Arizal says, for certain averus, especially the big averus. Okay, matzahs that you are going to use, especially for the first night of Pesach, we call those matzahs mitzvah, and we already said that they have to be done with a special intent, then you should have a what's called a gadol, someone that's an adult, 13 years in one day, or a girl that is 12 years in one day. And here too, there's a major discussion that they really have to make sure that they have puberty. So therefore, in general, we try to be careful with this. And this doesn't just apply, like we said, to the actual baking of the matzahs or the rolling, but all the steps, the essential steps in the process, even the drawing of the water, the kid says, and certainly when you mix the water, it's nice to give a kid the pouring of the water, but it's a major problem because water poured into the onto the flour is actually one part of the process of kneading. Okay, the kids actually points out interesting in parentheses that the many of the things that discuss are based on the custom that he has in his time. There's other churmas that every person, every chabura, but all this is also an important discussion that's done with matzahs that are done before Pesach and especially before the chatzos midday of Er Pesach. However, there's a discussion already, and they were shown him. And it's interesting, I think I saw the article quote that this is not a common thing, but I think it's now becoming much more common by Hasidim. I think it's always been done in many places where they're able to, and that's called the Erev Pesach Matzahs. Now, Erev Pesach Matzahs obviously means after Chatzos. There's something very special because, according to Rashi, he says that really that's how you fulfill the mitzvah. So if you could get your hands on such matzahs, it's a wonderful thing. And if you could be part of the chabur, it's one I am zeicha to do so. But it's not simple because you have to make sure that it's really kosher, because the zehirus, the carefulness, is even more complicated after chatzos than before chatzos. Okay, we're starting the laws of kuf yud aleph hilchas bdikas and bitul chametz. A beautiful discussion about bdikas chametz. So we know that the night of the 14th. Is when you have bedikas chametz, and that means that when it comes to nighttime, tzeisak yichavim, and some do a little bit earlier, The you can't do it at that point. You have a mitzvah to do bdikas chametz. It's a fulfillment of rabbinical fulfillment, but it could be even midoraisa. The whole discussion in the Rishon and the Ran and Rashi and beginning of Pesachim. But the bottom line is, when that mitzvah comes, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to do any malacha. And in fact, even a half an hour before, it's a big question if you're allowed to sit down and learn, and even to eat. If someone is really hungry, they could snack on fruits and stuff, but not have a meal. A big discussion that I actually saw is if a person is at work, best that he actually, if he's not going to come home late, he should make his wife or someone else, an adult, a shaliach, to check for him. If he really wants, he could leave one room for his father to check, and he could even make a bracha on that. But this is something so important to start the bdika by tzeis kachayim by nightfall. Many times people make a mistake. You know, the husband comes home, the wife's like, "I'm not ready yet." That you don't have to be ready, because sometimes we clean the house so well, there's maybe no even obligation to do bdika. Now, that's not such a question. Rosh Hashanah Zalman has a beautiful explanation. He says that at night, you know, many women are 3 weeks before that it's spotless. At the night of the 14th, that's exactly what happens. You become, I want to call it a CI instead of CIA, a chametz inspector. You basically come with your hat, CI, and you say, "I'm ready to see that everything was done properly." Of course, the husband's been helping. And that's when you check each room, and you can make other adults check their rooms, etc., to make it plausible. And that's also a little bit of a limud zchus why it goes faster than it used to be, because at the end of the day, it is beautifully clean. There actually is an explanation, the Rishonim, that there's really two steps. Part of the process is to make it clean, so you'll be able to inspect properly. Okay, when it comes to the particulars of Bdikas Chametz, one of them is that you check with a single candle and a wax candle. There's actually Kabbalistic connotations to this. And certainly one of the main problems is to use what's called an avuka, torch. Why? Because you can't go into the crevices. You can't go into small little corners where you really want to make sure. Now, you have to also be practical. You're only checking places where. If you have kids, so yeah, kids roaming the house could be everywhere. You could have in the bathroom. You could have in the cabinets. And you really have to check these places. But it's important to note that today, where you have a flashlight, so many poskim say it's much better to use a flashlight, especially if you go into the car or dangerous places. Don't go with a candle. So the best minhag, I think, today, humbly, is to start with the candle and your flashlight. But the candle, but when you make the mechaber, you make the candle. Why? Because it's almost traditional. So something special about light. The chappas is Yerushalayim ben Neiros. It's a special thing about a candle. Ner neshama. It's real ash. And so many interesting and Kabbalistic things that you start with it, but then the Iker B'dika really is going to end up being used with a flashlight. And the same thing applies also to leaving the lights on. There's no mitzvah to make the rooms dark. It's much more fun for the kids, but that's not the way to do to check your rooms. Okay, you check all the rooms that basically bring chametz goes in. And the chiddush here is that even if it's not something that's standard to go in, but there's a possibility, because that's the cases that the Gemara discusses, where maybe there's the butler went downstairs with a and he needed to get a bottle of wine, and he had a piece of, I don't know, Yerushalmi kugel in his hand. But that's already enough to create a possibility of chametz in these rooms, and therefore needs to be checked. As I said, certainly rooms that kids are in the house, you really almost have no room that's now safe. You have to check all of them. When it comes to a refesh shel bakar, which is basically a barn, so most of us don't have barns where we have cows and chickens outside, but there's a big discussion about this, because if you leave something there, so technically you should assume that it should be consumed by them. And if you don't know about it, or if you have a doubt, you have a concept of a svek sveka, and if you do know for sure it's only one suffix, you just really should go and check to make sure that it's not there. Another important concept is checking besides the what's called chayim v'sedakim, which again I think means areas where there's a possibility of chametz. I mean, most people don't have cracks in the walls and stuff like that usually, Baruch Hashem. But the idea is to check places where there's a possibility of chametz in. One of the, I think, common places where we almost forget, and it's a real halacha, and it makes sense, is pockets. Now it depends on you, on the person. Some people never will have granola bars and candies in their pockets, but many people do, and therefore, if you're having granola bars or stuff in your pack, you have to check all the pockets in your closet. And lastly, rooms that you're going to sell with a non-Jew through a rabbi. So this is a major discussion. The kitzur feels that since it's not going to be done the sale until the next day, or even at night, but late after the person already has a chiv of bedika, so the kitzur says you have to check those rooms, and that makes it very difficult for travelers and everyone else. And therefore, some actually, the Mishnah Berurah suggests making there, and this is what we do, many rabbis do this, they do a 13th day sale, where there's an early sale, but that really means that you're organized and you know what's going on and you're selling these houses. So that you could do with a rabbi. Others say no, it's not a problem at all. In fact, majority of the poskim hold that way. And I even saw that in the Pesach Jewish, right, that that's a custom and you don't even need to do a 13-day bedikah. So you should do what your Rav tells you to do. Have a beautiful day.